Well, Merry Christmas, buds. Well, this might sound like this is live from the couch this time because I'm off work this entire week. And yeah, not driving around. How was your Christmas, homies? Everybody have a good fucking everybody have a good holiday and such? But it's Wednesday after Christmas, in between New Year's. This is always a weird episode. I'm actually using one of my Christmas presents. Hope everybody got some great presents, guys. I'm using one of my presents right now. This pair of awful piece of shit headphones. They're so bad and bassy. They're like rattling my eardrums. Because I mentioned... Now, my mommy got me a bunch of presents, and it was very nice of the fucking broad. But I offhandedly mentioned that I was like, well, I need a new good pair of headphones because the ones that I got that I use are going to shit. So I need like a... I said it very obviously. I'm like, I need like a fancy, nice pair because she's going to buy me something for Christmas no matter what. So I might as well... Look, you're like they're almost 40 years old. You're telling me you tell your mother what kind of present she's going to get you for Christmas? Yeah, I got no choice. No matter what, she's going to get me something. So I might as well get her something good. So I'm like, I need some, like a nice $100 pair of headphones, you know? And then we went to the fucking bookstore or whatever before I was going to fly away from Florida in Thanksgiving. And I saw that CAA. I bought one book, and then they had this book about the CAA that came out. It might have been this year. It was either this year or last year, about the whole history of Creative Artists Agency. And I guess there's just tons of fucking crazy stories in it about actors and like people that ran the place and all this kind of shit. And I was like, you know what? Just get me this, Ma. I'm like, just order this off Amazon. It's like a fucking $30 book. I'm like, just get me this and just send it. You know, that if you want to get me a present, that's fine. Because I'm like, don't buy me a fucking expensive pair of headphones. So I'll give this to the fucking bitch. She went above and beyond. She got me a bunch of presents. But she bought me this pair of headphones that I could just, they looked sketchy. And I was like, the fuck are these? And I looked them up online. They're $18. $18 set of cans. You know what? I'll take a picture of myself with them and I'll put it on my Flickr page. Live from the 405 on Flickr. Luke, don't tell me you still got a fucking cold. I mean, this is getting ridiculous. Yep. Week number four. Now it's just the cough. I can't get rid of the goddamn cough. It's, this happens all the time. This is, since my later 20s, this is like the paradigm of the Luke cold. It mostly goes away. You know, it's so funny because Bill Burr has the same, I listened to his one on Thursday. From Monday, and he is like he described the exact same thing. Like you take the cold down to the mat, but then you're still left with this fucking cough. I'm like, that's exactly what I got, and then I usually always have to, and it never goes away, and I have to get this really heavy green cough medicine that tastes like shit, and then that usually does it. So I'm gonna have to just go back to the fucking doctor and be like, can you give me some of this fucking cough medicine because I can't take this shit anymore. But anyway, so these headphones suck, and I gotta buy a fucking new pair. But yeah, I don't know. Oh, and real quick before I get into Christmas more stuff, two fixes from last week's episode. It wasn't the wrestling story from Jesse Yafag. It wasn't Hacksaw Jim Duggan. It was Hillbilly Jim. Remember Hillbilly Jim? That was the dude I was talking about when I saw him at the Autorama. And it was at the Odd. And then the other guys in his crew were, Cousin Luke was the one that got his head busted open. And he also had Uncle Elmer and Cousin Junior. Because Hillbilly Jim got so popular, they gave him like buddies. So they had like a whole little conglomerate there, like a crew. And from the Nixon story, this is my new thing. It's corrections from last episode. The Nixon story, the guy I couldn't remember who he was talking to was H.R. Halderman. That was the one of the chief Watergate guys, because I couldn't remember. If there's one thing I want in this podcast, it's to be historically accurate, folks, because I want you to be able to leave and maybe win a trivia night contest from some kind of knowledge you gleaned from this swearing, meandering, loud, obnoxious, you know, fucking podcast. Oh, yeah, and also, remember I mentioned an episode or two ago? And did I just say an episode? An episode or two ago. That how my brother always sends me weird. Now, we fucking talk. This is what I don't understand. We have like a sit down, like a mafia sit down. Like, listen, this year, let's, you know, don't worry about gifts for each other. We're all struggling people. So like, just send each other a card. I sent him a card. What does he? This is like this is at least a month ago we had this conversation. What does he send me? Year number two, a card with money in it, like I'm his son. He sends me $80, not 50, not 100, 80. Like, Luke, you sound pretty ungrateful. I mean, the kid fucking sends you money. You're gonna complain about it? No, I appreciate the sentiment. It's great, but like, why 80? Last year it was like $42 or something, and I'm like, what the fuck? What a weird random amount of money. I mean, you know, I'll take the 80, but like now I feel like a shithead. I only sent him a card because we had the discussion not to send each other stuff, and then he sends it to me anyway. So I'm just like, you know what? The fuck it then. You broke the terms of the agreement. You send me $80, I'll send you a piece of paper with a fucking snowman on it that someone else made, you know, printed in a fucking printing press. Little faggot. No, I'm just kidding. But it's weird, right? What am I supposed to do about that? Okay, so I'll start with Christmas Eve, because it's Christmas Eve, not Christmas Steve, right? Fucking fags. You make out under the mistletoe with some fucking dude, right? And your whiskers rub together, and it makes that noise, sounds like a fucking maraca. Fucking make baby Jesus cry and shit. You don't like the fucking gay people. Okay. Christmas Eve, I went to see Die Hard at Christmas Eve. Went to see Die Hard, the movie. New Beverly Cinema. I went down there and I haven't actually sat and watched Die Hard. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever sat and watched it start to finish. I'm like, holy, if I did it so long ago, I can't even fucking remember. I'm like, that'd be fucking fun. I'll go do that. So, I went down there and they were selling. Remember the part where he kills the terrorist in the beginning? He kills that German guy. He's like, your friends are not coming. The police, they turn around. And then he kills. That's not in Chinese. The guy's supposed to be German. He kills the guy. He takes the thing and he writes, now I have a machine gun. Ho, 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 on his sweater. Well, they made like a batch of those sweaters. And I was like, holy shit. I'd bring like $20 or something. They were $35 fucking dollars for one of these. I'm like, are you guys, you know, you could just buy a gray sweater and take a red marker and write it on there, right? For about $8 probably. Like, who the fuck? And so many people bought them. I'm like, you fucking retard. Why would you pay $35? What an overpriced fucking piece of shit. I was so fucking aggravated. But anyway, yeah, I watched that. It was cool. I was going to fucking, I had a plan that, because I thought I was going to be like last year, right? Did I go home last year? I think I went home. Yeah. But other years I've been here, I don't do shit and I just sit around or something. And I was like, if anything else, I'm going to fucking Uber drive. Because I'll probably make a shitload of money. And I don't know what was going on. Uber was fucking dead. I mean, it was. I thought it was going to be blasting off. I thought it was going to be surges and like tons of fucking people. You know, people drinking, going to holiday parties, going to, you know how it is. You go to your relative's house, you're uncomfortable. You start drinking, you have a couple beers. Next thing you know, you have a couple whiskeys. Because you don't want to deal with your mother-in-law. You know, she's a cunt. She's a pain in the ass. The whole thing's just weird. It's people, you don't usually see them all year. You only see them on the holidays. Now it is the holidays, so you need a little, you know, social lubricant to make you get through the night, get everything finished. Then you're drunk and you can't drive. That's what I thought was going to happen, and there was no demand. There was no surge, no nothing. And I was like, okay, well, there goes that fucking idea. And on top of that, I thought I was going to get, like, I figured a lot of people would have holiday cash, and I would get cash tips, because you don't always get cash tips for Uber, but you get them from time to time, but if you're going to get them, it's going to be on motherfucking Christmas Eve. So that went out the window, and Die Hard ended at like, I think it was out of there at 9, started at like 6:30 or some shit, but so the only other guy around was my buddy Stryker, who I've talked about many times. So we're going to go out trolling for some Christmas Eve gash, you know what I mean? Get some fucking stocking stuff, all right? You want to fucking get your hands on my Yule log? You fucking bitch. Oh, I got a fucking present for you. We're going to go driving around and, I got a drink. We went to this bar in, out in Silver Lake, not far from the scene of the crime from last episode where I went on that fucking miserable expensive date with that British gal who I've never heard from again. In fact, I deleted her number and everything went into my phone. So that's the end of that broad. $70 later, but, and a half tank of gas. But we went to this place, and the fucking bar inside, it was Ye Old Rustic Inn, if you're from LA and know that area. And the inside of the bar looked just like the bar from Gremlins. It was unbelievable. I was like, holy shit, it looks just like it. And there was fucking, everyone that worked in there was hot, man. The bartender chick was just covered in tattoos. Covered in tattoos. And there was this other chick. She was like a, I think she was like a server. She was fucking beautiful. Oh my God, this girl. Oh my God, this girl's gorgeous. But like, I've talked about him before, but he's just such a frustrating guy. Fucking strike. He's just, God damn it. He just thinks he knows. He's a know-it-all, but he doesn't know anything about anything. He's just like making it up. He just comes up. He comes up with like a fucking an argument point. He's always got to argue with you. He's always got to have a different of opinion, even if he's making it up. Like, it could be based on absolutely nothing, and he will fight you until the death that he's right. And it's like, but you know, like, it's things that I know about. I know that he knows nothing about. Like, I know from actual experience, and he's trying to tell me the opposite. I'm like, no, that's not how it is. No, it is. I'm telling you, dude. I'm like, okay. This is how the whole fucking night went. I'm just like, why am I doing this? I don't know, because it's Christmas Eve. I need something to do. I mean, he's like an old pal of mine from back home, but it's just, fuck, he's a frustrating fella. So, the night, it was a bust. We didn't get any pussy. I mean, we went all over the fucking, dude, we jumped to like 10 fucking bars all over the place, and most of them were, I thought there'd be a lot more people out, but there wasn't, and there certainly wasn't really any single chicks. It was all couples and shit, or groups of guys and groups of girls together. There's nothing we could really do. So, that was that. You know, gave it a shot. What do you want? So, Christmas morning is upon us. And I know I talked about possibly never seeing Rogue One again, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to go fucking see it again. So I did. I went in the morning at noon to go see Rogue One. Now, this is either, honest to God, I'm not kidding this time, because I really got it out of my system. This is either the last time I ever see it, or at the very least, the last time for a really long time before I watch it again. And like the second time, I got a little bit better of a handle on it. And I'll say, if you haven't seen it, don't want to get spoiled, skip ahead. There's no real plot spoilers this time. It's just more of a broad overview. But I would say it has a lot of the same main character problems as Force Awakens. I don't give a shit about the two main characters at all. They're really kind of badly written, and there's no real... they don't have any real purpose. They're just indecisive, weird... But this one is more from the rewrites and shit like that. I don't know what the original vision for what Jyn Erso was supposed to be, but it's just everything is just really ill defined, you know. And by the end, I don't give a shit about either of the main characters, so that's a huge problem, obviously. But it's almost counterbalanced. Now this is the thing: like, I don't want to have to settle. I don't want to be like, yeah, but I still loved it. It's like, I do still love it, but it's still not like the best Star Wars movie, because they dropped the ball on a huge fucking part of it, of the characters, you know. But I'll say it's just about counterbalanced by how great the production design is and how cool there's so many original new characters that they brought in. But they still fit in like the patchwork of the old original trilogy, you know what I mean? Like, they still work as cool new Star Wars characters. But even though they're, you know, new. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I explained that properly, but I never noticed. I mean, I did, but it hit me harder the second time how much attention to detail they had of production elements from the original Star Wars, like how good they did the cost, just even down to like the buttons on the X-Wing, the fucking screen on the fighters, just every little thing. I really liked that. Like, they really had a fucking, it really felt like it tied into the first one, the original one. Really well the way they did it. And the cinematography was so good. It's such a fucking great looking movie. It's so dark. And I love shit when they're in the base. And this is in the original trilogy the most, which is one of my favorite things about. When they shoot somebody like in either even the Imperial base or the Alliance base, like, they're, it's really dark inside, and they're underlit from the buttons on the board in front of them. That's like the only light hitting their face. I fucking love that look. It's so cool. That was like always my favorite shots in Empire, is when they're inside the Millennium Cockpit Falcon. The Millennium Falcon cockpit. What am I, Dick's Lexix in this one? But, yeah, I love that look. And is that it? Yeah, I don't know. So, I'll leave it at that. It's got its pluses and minuses. It about evens out. The final space battle is great. And, I think I'm good on that one. I don't want it to get any worse. And that's the handle I got on it. And I'm going to fucking leave it at that for myself. So the next one will be, the young Han Solo movie. So I don't know. I mean, obviously I got my problems with Force Awakens. I don't hate it. I think, you know, it's I'm just kind of leaving Force Awakens in the past, and I'm hopeful for the next one that the script is better. I don't give a shit about Rey or Finn. Like I said, I hope they straighten them out, and I do give a shit. But as of now, I could kind of care less about Episode 8. Luke, what do you got to say about Carrie Fisher dying? Carrie Fisher died, and like, she was young. She was only 60, but like this weird outpouring of grief. I know she has cultural iconic status as Princess Leia. It's a classic fucking character, but it's like, and I, apparently she was a script doctor too. I know she wrote books and stuff, but it's just like, okay, I know this is going to sound terrible. It's like, what did she really do besides Star Wars? I mean, you know, great, but she was a heavy drinker and a drunk for 40 years and a pill popper and a drug addict. I mean, yeah, she's dead at 60. I can't believe she made it this far. She was a fucking disaster. I mean, she started doing coke when she was like 13 or some shit. Like, she's always been a fucking mess. She's crazy. So, yeah, I mean, I'm not happy that she died for fuck's sake. I'm not trying to say that, but it's just like, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, yeah, that makes sense to me. I don't know. But I guess sad to see you go. I don't know. She did fucking Drop Dead Fred in Star Wars. Like, great. Oh, Carrie Fisher. I was into her just on the name alone. Oh, my brother impression sounds so weird in these headphones. I'm getting rid of these fucking things. Stink. I'm going to go to Best Buy today and buy a gentleman's pair of headphones so I can put myself in debt. So that was Christmas Day. I get home around, I don't know, 4 or 5. And I'm now, most of my friends are out of town. There's nothing to do. So I'm trying to hook up with, trying to find some fucking chick to hang out with. You know what I mean? Like a new one. And I find this fucking ad on Craigslist because there was no one else left on Plenty of Fish. Because there's like women looking for men kind of thing. And I see this ad for this chick and she looks kind of cute. And she's like a screenwriter, moved here from New York, bored on Christmas, needs someone to hang out with, like no creeps. Unfortunately for her, I answered the ad. But so I email her, we start going back and forth, and she seems pretty cool. She's like, yeah, let's hang out. I live over by the Grove. Let's go fucking do something. I'm like, sweet. All right. So I go pick her up, and this chick is fucking hot. I couldn't believe it. I was like, holy shit, man. She had a cute face. She had weird, I don't know how to describe this. She had bitch eyes. There's only a couple girls in my life I've ever seen this. They give you this like look, and they just look pissed, or like they could really be a cunt. I can't describe it. What's her name? The handful kind of had it. By the way, quick side note. the handful, when did I see her last? 3 months ago, something like that. She is fucking willingly pregnant. She is not, that's how fucking, this chick has like a mental illness. There's people that have almost a mental illness of having this desire to have kids so bad. You don't even care whose cum it is. You'll just take the fucking cum to make a baby. Forget about if your relationship's going to work. Or she is like fucking baby crazy. She's knocked. I'm like, you're fucking pregnant? Are you kidding me? And she's like, yeah, why? I'm like, how well could you know a guy? Like, I actually had to like almost explain this to her. And I was just like, okay, well, good luck. Good luck with everything. I hope everything turns out. I'm sure that'll be a smashing success. And you'll have a long-lasting relationship with whoever the fucking father is. If she even knows, for God's sake. She probably put an ad on Craig just saying like, glory hole in my house, come in me. Like that's how bad this fucking idiot wanted children. That's how close it came. I mean, that could have been me. Like Venkman says in Ghostbusters 2. I could have been your father. I mean, should have been. Remember when he sees the baby? Yeah, that close call on that one, huh? Remember that a few episodes ago? Because I had a few months ago, I had a pregnancy scare with this very gal. Because she talked me into busting in her. And by the grace of God, like literally, I mean, it's a miracle she didn't get knocked up. It's just fucking sheer luck that my fucking sperm didn't make it into her fucking Mexican goat. You know what the fuck is saying? I'm gonna cough drop. So yeah, that's interesting. So this girl, Christmas Day, I pick her up, and where do we go? How did this date start? We were driving around trying to find somewhere to go, and we ended up at Rainbow Room, which I haven't been to a long time. Yeah, that's LA Christmas Day, right? Rainbow on fucking Sunset. But I forgot what I've had a great experience. There was a first date place. It's one of my best. Rainbow and the Well over there on Sunset and Argyle. Two of my best spots that have a pretty good success rate. What the fuck is that? The dogs are going crazy out there. So, yeah, she's a screenwriter and she does all this stuff. And like, She was fucking really cool. I really liked her. I was like, holy shit, this is amazing. This chick's fucking hot. She's not a psycho. We're having a good time. She's not really drinking. She's like, I don't really drink. I'm like, meaning this. So we just fucking sat there having Diet Cokes. And I was totally fine. I was like, this is fucking great. I can just hang. I love hanging out at bars. I have no problem going to a bar and not drinking. I'm so fucking happy for that. It was great. So it started getting super loud. There was hardly anybody in there, but we're outside on the patio, and they were fucking crank. The music got turned up so loud. I don't know why. It was like we were at a fucking live show out of nowhere. It just cranked up like 5 decibels. I'm like, what the fuck, man? So we went to go inside to have a drink. But that rotten old bitch that runs the inside bar, who's like 60 years old and with the beehive hairdo, and she is just absolutely miserable. I'm like, I'm not getting a drink from her. That's how stupid this place. They keep this fucking idiot employed there, and this lady's such a cunt. They lose business because no one wants to deal with her. But keep her employed. Great, great idea. So we left, and she has no idea where to go. So I'm like, let's go to the Frolic Room down in fucking, Most Famous from LA Confidential. We drove down to the Frolic Room. Had a couple in there, and then she wanted to actually have a drink, so I bought her a Maker's Mark. And she started drinking, getting a little loosey-goosey, but we were fucking having fun the whole time, talking. You know, she was pretty smart, and we were into a lot of the same shit. And then these people, there's almost a fight in there. It was really weird. There's always a weird vibe in that Frolic Room. It's up there with Foxfire, right by my house, which is the Cruise Kid Donnie Smith bar from Magnolia. There's just something in the air. And that, but there's a weird kind of tension. It's a weird mix of different kinds of people. And I've seen a lot of shit go down or almost go down. Not a cheery LA vibe. Like most places are really laid back. People are chill, but not so much in there. So somebody brought in pizza and we both smelled it. She's like, I'm fucking starving. I'm like, okay, let's go back to Rainbow Room. They have some of the best pizza. So we drive all the way back down. It was great though, because it was Christmas Day. There's it was fucking like no traffic. Getting around nice and easy. And we go back to Rainbow to get the pizza, and we got food, and she got another couple drinks, and now she's getting pretty fucked up. And she sounds like a pretty free-spirited gal, and started talking about sex and previous sexual stuff. And just the way like she swore and talked, and she was very East Coast, I'm just like, this chick, she's not uptight and conservative, that's for goddamn sure, so there's probably a good chance I'm going to get in that ass. And she had great, I mean, just, she said she was in two fucking, like they were like for friends, but she was in rap videos. Like, she was short, she had fucking huge, great tits, skinny waist, athletic body, nice, stuck-out ass, and she was a fucking doll. And she had like a winter hat on, that she looked hot, and when she took the hat off and her hair came down, you were like, fuck, holy shit, I can't believe this chick's off Craigslist, what the fuck? So, we did that, we were gonna go to Bruce, and now it's like 8, 9 o'clock, and she's had 3 or 4 fucking drinks and a bunch of food, so she's getting tired. And we almost went to Bruce and Corinne, which I was like, make sure Friday's not there. But she's like, you know what? I'm fucking tired. I'm going to go home. So I take her home. She lives right down there by Wilshire and Crescent Heights Boulevard, where if you're north of Sunset, it's Laurel Canyon, which turns into Crescent Heights. That's where she lives down there. So she's in my car. We're sitting in my car for like 20 fucking minutes talking. And this is the like, are we going to kiss or no? Are you going to invite me up or no? And you know, goddamn sure I tried to get up there, but she wasn't having it. Really close, but she was like, no, I better not. So I tell her the next day, on Monday, I'm like, tomorrow I'm going to go to the Comedy Store and try to get either on Potluck or Kill Tony, because I never have Mondays off, and I can never make it over here in time. So if you want to come, come with me. And she's like, yeah, let's do it. Okay. So, that was Christmas. So it was fun. For not having any family or anything else around, I had a pretty fucking good Christmas day. Hung out with a fucking cool chick. Went to the movies and shit, you know? You could do worse. So this chick's name, her name is like, it's spelled Megan, but you know, it's Megan. And she's like, yeah, thank my parents for giving me a fucking stupid spelling. I'm like, yeah, I'm glad someone actually acknowledged that, because we used to get that shit all the time at the bowling alley. Like these kids' names and shit. We're just like, what the fuck are these parents thinking? Like, give them a stupid spelling to try to make their kid different, but it's like, you're not. You're just making it a fucking a burden for them and us. You fucking dumb assholes trying to be progressive. But, Monday, the next day, I work out and shit, and then I go to pick her up to go to the Comedy Store with me. And it's fucking freezing. It's freezing. I mean, it's LA freezing. It's like fucking in the 40s. It was ridiculous. I'm so fucking tired of this weather. It's either raining or freezing or both. And I don't know what it was, but there was something, the show's at like 6, and there was something off about her from like the minute she got in my car. I couldn't put my finger on it. But she was just a little bit more out of it and less talkative and more on her phone and shit. So I don't know. There was a vibe. So we get to the fucking patio at the store, and the sign-up's at 6, the show's at 8. It's fucking freezing up. They don't have I don't know what the fuck they're thinking. They don't have the bar open. They don't have the heaters on outside either. And so we got 2 hours, and they're like, it's fucking freezing. Like, let's go get a drink and come back. So we walked down to Saddle Ranch, which is like a block away on Sunset. And there's a football. Now, I don't know if you know Saddle Ranch. Wasn't there a show? I thought it had its own fucking reality show. But I know they go there on Bad Girls Club. It's this big fucking Western-themed bar with the mechanical Bronco and shit in it. It's like one of those, like, it's in the Paris Hilton section of Sunset where it's all like standard and all these fucking hot clubs and shit are. So, now Kill Tony is, if you've been listening a while, you know I got shredded on there. If you don't, you know, I'm assuming you know what the show is, but it's like you go up, you do 1 minute in front of Tony Hinchcliffe and whoever the guests are, and they critique your minute and they critique you. And depending on the mood they're in or the way it goes, they can beat the shit out of you for 10 minutes. And it went so bad for me last year when I did it, I almost fucking quit comedy, honestly. But, so it was, I don't know, I was just very anxious. I was very, last time I went was like September on like Labor Day. And I don't know why, I was just ready to go. I had no fucking fear, but they didn't pull my name. And this time I was really anxious about it. I don't know why, it was the same minute I was going to do, but I don't know. It's just one of those days. I just wake up weird. I think my brain sometimes just manufactures low level like anxiety shit for just no reason, which has kind of been happening a lot lately and really fucking starting to piss me off. Like, maybe need to get on medication because it's really starting to fuck my days up and shit. And I'm like, I don't know why this is happening, but yeah, just anxious. So we go into this fucking Santa Ranch, and there's a football game on. And the fucking place is packed and it is full. I mean, there's football. There's fucking 75 TV screens everywhere. Super loud. Game going on. And it was like just sensory fucking overload. And then it was like, both the front doors open and there's just cold air. So it's fucking freezing in there too. We had a seat kind of by the door and there's just cold wind fucking blowing in. I'm like, what the fuck? And it's just, I'm just sitting there and I was like, so, and I'm trying to get ready like for this, trying to psych myself up for this fucking thing. And I just could not relax. And she's just being like, just a lot more standoffish. She was a lot less forthcoming and friendly than she was the day before. And it's all coming together. And I'm like, you know what? I just don't want to go. Because we had like an hour and a half to sit in this place. And just the fucking amount of sensory information coming in was just like, it was like, I got to fucking get out of here. It was like making my skin crawl. And then I didn't, on top of that, like I'm supposed to be chilling out before this fucking thing. Because I'm telling you, it feels like you're getting ready to get in a fight. I swear. Like that's how much fucking adrenaline it is. At least for me to get on that show. It's fucking really, it's about the toughest gig you can possibly do. I mean, the guy's a fucking professional roast writer, and you're going to get up there and just, you know, you got to fucking fight with him. I mean, you know, battle with him with the jokes and shit. It's tough. Donnie, you're out of your element. It's one of those things. And I just couldn't get into it. And I'm like, you know, I really don't want to go. I'm like, well, let's go fucking go just do something else. It'll be cool. We'll find something. And we'll come back here for like a real comedy show. And she's like, No, I want to go. She's like, don't chicken out. And she starts this shit, okay? And then it turns out that, like, she's just, like, this super alpha female and, like, a really obnoxious kind that I don't like, who's just, it's, like, her way or the fucking highway. And she tells me, she's like, yeah, I was in all these sports and I'm super, I hate, quote-unquote, competitive people. I can't, it's really boring to me. I can't stand it. Like, are you that insecure? Like, you have to win at everything. You got to go out of your way to compete and win all the time. Like, you can't just live with yourself the way you are. You got to fucking prove to everyone and yourself how fucking great you are all the time. So this is starting to come out of her. And right away, I'm like, oh, boy. Well, this ain't the same gal from yesterday. And this is going to be a fucking long night. And I'm trying to talk her out of it. And she keeps saying, she goes, you know, you dragged me all the way down here. We're going up there. I'm like, I didn't drag, lady, you live two blocks away. I didn't drag you anywhere. You don't live in fucking Fontana and I brought you here, for Christ's sakes. So we leave and I'm like, I'm trying to just like walk right past the place. And she's like, come on. And she like pulls me in by my arm. And I'm just, then I see like people I know and start talking to them. I'm like, oh, God damn it. So I end up, we're in line to go up. Now it's the last time and a bunch of the times they've been having kill Tony out in the fucking main room, which is huge, which is great. This time it's backed up in the crammed ass belly room, which I don't like. I don't like the physical room. I don't like this fucking scene up there. I don't like the vibe. I don't like the fucking belly room. It's just like my least favorite thing of LA comedy, and it's the epicenter of most of the douchedom that I'm not a fan of. And we're in line, and I'm just like, I'm like, my head is screaming. Like, I don't even want to go up there. I don't want to fucking go. I don't want to be up. And then she just starts getting really shitty. She's like, well, then leave, and I'll just take a fucking Uber home or just leave. She's like, go ahead. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? She's like, yeah, fine. Like, don't go. And then she's like, just fucking come up. It'll be fine. If it sucks, we'll leave. And blah, blah. And she keeps trying to, like, compromise. I don't know. She ends up taking me up there. And we sit down. I'm like, just get up and leave. I don't want to pay for the fucking two drinks because I couldn't sit with the comics because I was with her. I mean, I guess I could have. But I just was like, I don't want to fucking get up. I don't even want to do it. I don't want to be here and sit through this show because the show fucking really kind of sucks. Kill Tony really kind of blows. Most of the comics aren't funny. The guys in the peripherals involved with them aren't funny. The guys in the band, Red Band fucking sucks. He's not funny. The two, so I'm hoping for the two special guests, which they never announced. It was like two nobodies. It was, who the fuck was it? It was some dude I've never heard of and some other just kind of regular like jobber from the store. There was no, I was hoping maybe it might have been Jimmy because I know Jimmy talked about possibly coming to, because Jim and Sam are off this whole week. And Jimmy was talking about possibly coming to LA. And I'm like, oh, maybe Jimmy will show up. That was another reason I went. Honestly, I wanted to see who the hosts were. I thought maybe it'd be somebody cool, especially now because it's, you know, Christmas week and a lot of people are off and home. So, like, it could be anybody. It could have been somebody really good. It wasn't, to make everything worse. And, like, she's just getting snottier the whole time. And I'm just like, I want to just leave and leave this fucking woman. And I fucking made up my mind too late. And the waitress already came and took my motherfucking card. So we had to get the two-drink minimum. She got two bottles of Corona. I got two waters. The bill was $35 for two beers and two waters. I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? This is on top of the fucking money I already spent the night before. Probably spent $70 on actual Christmas Day for her. I love, because everyone thinks I'm so shitty and I treat girls so bad, right? Yeah, wine and dine on the fucking town on me. Yeah, what a scumbag I am, right? And didn't get laid. Oh wow. Woe is me. Seriously. Hang on, I gotta take a piss. Hang on. Okay, sorry. So, it's not going well. I really just want to get out of there. I'm like, this is going to be such a fucking long show. I don't want to be here. This stinks. So, I had to take a piss. I didn't want to pee in the one. I wanted to get the fuck away from her and out of the room for a little while. So, I went downstairs to take a whiz. And then I walk by. There's the two stages down there. You can kind of peek in. So I'm standing there watching stupid Argus Hamilton for a minute or two. And I think the other one had, I forgot who was in the other room. But I go upstairs. So I'm dilly-dallying. And I go back upstairs. And I walk in the room. And I hear, okay, I guess Luke Allen's not here. We're going to give the spot away. And I was like, oh my God. They fucking called my name while I was downstairs. I'm like, they're not going to call me because they haven't the last two times. They fucking called my name while I was downstairs taking a piss. I was like, oh my God. He goes, all right, well, he's not here. I guess we're going to give the spot away to the newest sensation of the Kill Tony show, the Verzi triplets. Now, I'm going to pause it here for a second. I mean, not pause, but let me tell you about the Verzi triplets. I'll put a picture of these guys on my Flickr. There's these three brothers. They all kind of look like Joey from Friends, all three of these guys. They're actual triplets, brothers. And they have a stand-up act. Yet. So, flashback to Friday night. I did a mic over at Fourth Wall. It's called the Fourth Wall, Sherman Way. What do you say we meet? And pouring rain. Some of the hardest rain I've seen in LA in fucking in years. It was fucking storming out. But I hadn't done a mic in like a week. So I'm like, all right, I'll go to this one. And I made friends with the host, the other host that's not Joe fucking Manente, this son of a bitch. His other guy, Eric Rocha, who, if a couple of you guys were at the, I think he hosted that living room show I did of Joe's, the one where I fucked Friday that night, you know, last month, a few episodes back. And I don't know, I got friends with that dude, and he's the fucking best. He gives me, like, the nicest intro, tells me how, he pumps me up so hard, he's like, this guy's really fucking funny. I'm like, what a fucking sweetheart. Give me like the nicest bring up. I did pretty good. You know, I do all right there. Because, like I said, mostly because it feels like a fucking a loaded deck to me. Because I'm kind of friends with a lot of the regulars in there now, and I think I get a little bit more leeway on my laughs. But it was good. It was fun. And I was like, all right, cool. I gotta get back on it because I hadn't done a mic. Just between being sick and being lazy and holidays out of it, I've been really slacking on mics. So it went good, and we're all getting ready to leave, and the door opens. It's just like in remember the part in Raiders of the Lost Ark where Indy leaves Marion's bar, and you know it's fucking storming out, the snow, and Indy leaves, and then you hear the door open again, and it blows that candle out, and this ominous like feeling comes across the bar, the way like Tot's shadow comes over Marion. That's how it felt when these Verzi trip, because everyone's getting ready to leave. There's like 5-6 comics in there. They're long sets at the Fourth Wall. They go like 6-7 minutes, and there's a lot of not great comics in there. And when you're not doing good, like 6-7 minutes, or you're not funny, it feels like a fucking long time. So I'm like, all right, thank God, like, because I was like the first guy up, and I'm fucking ready to go. And I feel this presence. I felt a presence, Tom Arnold. And these three fucking dudes walk in and sit down, walking. And I'm like, fuck, three more comics as well. I'm like, I'm not fucking sitting through this. I can't. I'm leaving. So Eric gets up and he's like, all right, we got one last minute comics. And he's like, he must have known him. He's like, this is the I couldn't see because it was dark. He's like, these are the Verzi triplets coming up. So all three of them get up at once, and I had two thoughts. Well, thank God it's not three separate people. And what fucking kind of shitty gimmick is this of three? Three fucking brothers, what are they going to do, like sing a cappella? I was just like, oh my God, are you fucking kidding me? Like, it's as bad as going through with like a guitar or a trunk full of fucking props, right? And they get up, and like within 1 minute of their fucking act, they don't even use a mic. They just go up there and fuck around. I was like, this is every douchebag that I worked on every blue-collar job site back east, and like every fucking asshole in every class that I was like, oh, I love this guy instantly, like every smartass. Like, I instantly, like, they were my kind of douche. I swear they were like Depew grad. Like, they could totally be just from like a suburb of Buffalo, just douchey, like blue-collar Italian. They're like 25. And just up there like busting each other's balls and talk. I can't, my first thought was these guys got to be from like Philly or Jersey or something. They're from fucking Simi Valley. They grew up here. I couldn't believe it. Like, their dad owns a construction company, and they're like, hey, oh, kind of shit. But like, they were funny, and I just, you ever just see somebody, you're like, I immediately like love this person. Like, I just love those dudes right away. I'm like, oh man, these fucking, look at these assholes. So the thing lets out, and I usually always end up hanging out at that. Everyone will leave, and I'll end up either hanging, talking to Joe or Eric for like a good half hour, and we just end up talking about Star Wars and shit. But it turned out me and those three brothers and Eric hung out in there for fucking like seriously like 2.5 hours. I don't know, just because it was pouring out, none of us wanted to leave. But we just like sat around and bullshitted about comedy and like just everything. It was fucking awesome. It was like such a fun hang. It was great. I was like, I could fucking sit here all night. Like, we left and it was like 10, it was almost fucking 11 o'clock. It was ridiculous. So they're showing me all these videos of how they went to the Kill Tony like 2 months ago. And their first time up, they killed. And Tony liked them so much, he's going to give them a fucking spot every week on the show until he's just tired of them. So every week, they have to have a new one-minute segment that he comes up. So they're like stars of the show now, and they made like a big... They just started. They've only been doing it for like a year. But like between me, him, and Eric, like I was saying, there's no way to make this not sound like egotistical and douchey, but I'm just going to say it. It's like, it's so nice to hang out with like genuinely funny, like... all the way funny, like funny offstage, funny onstage, that are conversationally funny and can just hang guys. You know, there's guys that aren't funny and want to be a comic. And when you get in situations like this where you're in a green room bullshitting, or you're just trying to hang, like, they're trying so hard to be like a funny dude, but they're not funny. They're not funny people. Like, they can write jokes and they can get up there, even if they're not good. They know how to like, you know, write a 3-minute act. But like, they're not funny guys. They can't hang and chop it up and be funny. But like, all of us could, and it was so fucking, I'm like, we're like all like just funny guys. Like, no one's trying. We know we're all just being ourselves, but we're all just like funny dudes. It was so fucking great. It was so awesome. I love that. So, yeah, I kind of like made friends with them, and we all started like following each other on Twitter. So I'm like, yeah, dude, I'll see you guys on this was Friday night. I'm like, I'll see you guys on Monday. So flash forward back to that night. I lose my spot, but it goes to those fucking Verzi triplets. And like, they did really good, and I was happy for them. So I just want this fucking show to be over. I want to be out of there, and I want to be away from this fucking cunt because I'm ready to strangle her. Like, she's giving me, like, now she's got a couple beers in her, so she's just, like, hot shit. She's giving me, like, comedy advice, like, yeah, I don't know, maybe, like, you know, if you're that nervous, like, maybe you're not cut out for this. Like, just maybe, you know, if you can't go up there and just, I don't think it was even that bad. I think you just go up there and kind of make fun of you a little bit, like, maybe you need a little bit thicker skin. I'm like, yeah, thanks. This is exactly what I'm like, cool, thank you so much. That's great advice. I'm like, yeah, as soon as I get home, I'm going to write that down. I'm going to work on that. Just being, like, totally shitty to her. She's like, yeah. She's like, where are we going? You're just going to, what are you, just going to take me home? Like, yeah, I'm going to take you home. It's like 9 o'clock. I got stuff to do. So I'm going to take it back. And the whole way, she's just like, she's just giving me like comedy advice. And you know what she does, this fucking cunt? When I get back to her place, she's like, all right, well, you didn't get up. So just like do your 1 minute right here. Like, I just, like, you tell me you're a comic, but like, you didn't even want to do the show. So like, let me hear you 1 minute. Come on, let me hear it. I want to hear the 1 minute. I'm like, get the fuck out of my car. I'm like, fuck you. You know, get the fuck away from me. So she left, and I was like, and then she texted me like 3 times. She's like, well, I'm sorry if you didn't have a good time, and blah. And she was trying to be like weirdly like consoling. I'm like, bitch, the fucking damage is done. Like, just get out of my fucking phone. I deleted her and blocked her. I'm like, goodbye, you fucking twat. So that went down in flames. One night, I'm like, cool, maybe I met somebody fucking cool, and there's a chick I can actually date and stand to be around and have an interesting conversation with, and she's an interesting person. I can hang out. I don't meet a lot of people like this in L.A., Richard Lewis. No, it fizzled again. The whole thing was a giant sham because God hates me and I will die alone in this fucking city because everyone is fucking nuts. Luke, you're kind of nuts yourself. I know I am, but I'm socially acceptable nuts. I don't get drunk and turn into an asshole. Like woman number three, you only talked about two. Well, there's a third coming up, so get ready. Another one, okay? So that went down in flames. That was fucking fantastic. But, and then they have that Kill Tony has that whole those diversity, those Verzi dudes were showing me like the roast battle. They did really good on the roast battle. They roasted that thing like the Wave, who are, oh God, these guys are, I don't like competitive comedy. I don't like the roast battle, and I don't like fucking Kill Tony anymore. I don't like any of it. Like, just get up and tell jokes. Why do we need this fucking circus and all this other nonsense? I don't like it. I guess it goes back to me just not, like, competition just, like, bores me. Like, I don't care. Like, everyone just get up and tell jokes. I don't know, call me a fucking old-fashioned or whatever, but, like, just get up and tell jokes. Do we need all this fucking shit and roast battles and every other goddamn thing? And they're showing me, like, footage, and they would, like, they go back and forth, like, those Verzi dudes against, like, those dudes, the Wave, that are on, they're on the roast battle. It's, like, Jeremiah Watkins and all these fucking dudes. And, they were doing really good, and they would smash them. And it's like, they're showing me the video of it, and I almost couldn't take it anymore because it was so like, every, you'd be like, yeah, well, your mother pushed a shopping cart off a cliff, and the entire room's like, oh, everyone's screaming, there's people running all over the stage, like diving on it. It's like a minute and 30 seconds of just people running around and screaming and shit. I'm like, what this is the fucking, this is insane. Like, what the fuck? I don't know. This is not my kind of comedy show. Maybe it's just, I'm a traditionalist and I grew up just watching people tell their jokes into a microphone and then getting down. But that's not how, that sounded like Sipowicz when I get talking to a microphone and sit down, douchebag. But just not my scene and not my style. I can't fucking stand. I'm like, I'm glad for those dudes because they're not super like that. They're kind of more, they just get up and tell their joke. They do it a little bit because they have to, but the other people in there are like fucking, it's just exhausting. I can't stand it. But I don't know, I'm happy for those dudes because they're like just started like a year ago and they're fucking, they're doing well and they're cool dudes. Like I said, they're my kind of douches. I love them. They're fucking, follow them on Twitter, the Verzi Triplets. I don't know. But yeah, so that's how that, Jesus Christ, I got to piss again. Hang on a second. Jesus, fuck. Christ, I had 2 coffees in the water today. I probably pissed 9 times. Yeah, so that's how that went. So fuck her. Now in between her, there was another chick. Did I? I don't even know if I mentioned her last episode. So I will go ahead and run through this scenario quick. Now, I met this chick. The last time I saw her was 2 years ago at after Tree Man's wedding. Tom the Tree Man got married. He was married. He was way the fuck out wherever his wedding was. And I had met this chick on, I might have met her on fucking Instagram and hit her up because she looked really pretty, but she was a big gal. But she photographed well, and she was 19 years old. So that interested me. I mean, that'll just like Star Wars. Like, you know, I said it balanced out because the script was fucked up and there was a lot of shitty writing problems. But the other stuff in the movie still made it great. That's how this was. It's like, yeah, she looks like she might be kind of a fatty But she's pretty and she's 19. So let's see how this works. So after Treeman's wedding, I think there's a full synopsis of this whole thing on an early episode. If you want to go back through the Live from the 405 archives, I think it's in the first. It's definitely in the first 20. I think, right? Or was it still Looking Good Radio? I can't remember. Oh no, it was 2 years ago. Yeah, I think it might have been Looking Good Radio, up in the 200 somewhere. Whatever. Nobody gives a shit. But I went to her house and she's 6 foot tall and she was huge and she wasn't like fat, but she wasn't thin. She was heavy. It was a disaster. Okay, and I never saw her again. Fucked her, left, and really bad sexual performance. Remember, I lay there all night. I was in a suit. I was still in my fucking wedding suit. And we fucked around all night. And then when we finally fucked, the minute I put my fucking prick in her fucking pie, right? Fucking disgusting. I said she had a big, fat, gushy... I'm sorry. Big, fat, gushy puss. And because I was so wound up from like grinding and humping on her for hours, once I finally got it in, I was ready to come in fucking 5 seconds. It was horrendous. It's got to be in my top 10 most embarrassing sexual performances of all time. I fucked her for like 5 minutes and just blasted all over the fucking place. So, oh, in fact, I think I left it in. I think she said she was on birth control. Smart move. But, so that was that. Now I see her again, flash forward 2 years later on fucking Tinder, like last week. And she's like, she looks a lot better. She changed her hair and shit, did all this stuff. And she's like, so I don't know, we matched and we started talking. She's like, yeah, I've really been working. There's always pictures of her in the gym. And she slimmed up. She lost 110 fucking pounds. Pounds, baby, pounds. I work on race cars for 18 years. I sell cars, Paul. Should I bring my fucking tools? So she looks a lot better. And I'm like, fuck, look at this. This chick fucking got her shit together. And she's like, well, tonight's my 21st birthday. Why don't you come out and hang out with me? And when she made a couple sexual innuendos and shit. And I was like, all right, well, as always, well, no matter what, I'll have a good story for the podcast. I do it for you people, all right? So I'm like, all right, I'll meet her out. So she wants me to meet her. It keeps getting better and better. She wants me to meet her at this club called Tiger Heat, which is over on Hollywood and Vine. And it's this big club. It's in this like strip of like big popular for the kids nightclub. Like the Redberry or something? It's right across from like Capitol Records right there on Vine. And Tiger Heat is attracts quite a big gay crowd. It's mostly geared towards the gay. But this is what I'll, especially for Los Angeles, where there is gay, there is always tons of fucking also hot chicks. So if you can get through the gay, there's a good fucking pile of cash, right? Cash. There's a plethora of attractive women wherever the gay are because they love the gay. Because as my buddy Naj used to say, when we were teenagers, hot chicks love gay guys because they can take showers together and the guys doesn't get a boner. So I'm like, all right, this ought to be interesting. So I go there and this place is fucking huge. It's got this giant dance floor with a full stage and one of those like the DJ is a god thing, like a huge fucking turntable thing set up where they stand behind the, and it's like, they're like lit and everything. It looks like you're going to like a band's going to play, but there's a DJ up there. Huge fucking dance floor. And she's like, okay, I'll meet you by the bar. So I see her come walking through the crowd and she's getting closer and I'm like, she's still huge. She's still 6 feet tall and even losing 100 pounds, she's still built like a fucking linebacker. I mean, she's just a fucking giant. I'm like, God damn it. And I can't think of one person in my entire life, and I'm not exaggerating, like I'm not just saying this lightly, I can't think of another human being I've ever seen where their picture and what they look like in real life is more, I don't know what's going on between the photograph and real life, but she's an 11 in pictures. And then in real life, she's about a fucking 6. Like, what the fuck is, she's got like really pretty eyes. She's got these green eyes, just like Liz Taylor. At least that's what I always thought. And she looks like she'd be smoking, but she's not. And I'm like, what the fuck? Like, she's weird looking. Like, at one point, I looked at her life. The picture of her on her license is fucking stunning. I mean, she looks fucking beautiful. Like, I wanted to hold it up next to her face and be like, how the fuck is this the same person? It's fucking nuts. It's like she's got an extra power, Marvel fans. They call her the Tricker because she looks really hot in all of her pictures, But in real life, she looks like a big slob or a sailor from the 1600s. And she fools all kinds of men to come and buy her things and take her out and think they're going to stick their prick in her puss. But then she turns out not to do it and to embarrass you in public because she's so such a behemoth and so large that no man respecting would want to be out in public with her. So she takes me onto this. She's like, okay, so she meets me and I'm just like, okay, she's huge. This is great. She's there with her future roommate, who is a big fat fuck, a fat chick, just a straight up fat chick. Looks like fucking Mama Cass from fucking the Mamas and the Papas. And this little twink Mexican gay guy who was like the stupidest fucking human being. This guy's IQ must have been like a 5. Like he was like functionally retarded. I don't know what this guy's deal was. But he was just a little weirdo. And he was like 90 fucking pounds and looked like a gardener. And he was in this little fucking gay little spaghetti strap kind of shirt. And I'm like, this is fucking great. Wonderful. So she's like, we're going on the dance floor. Come on. I'm like, God damn it. I don't dance, especially in places like this. I haven't danced sober in many a moon. But God help me. She pulls me out on the dance floor. As we're walking through across the floor, through the crowd, people are just looking up at this woman. It looks like that part. Remember that? It was like fucking walking around with like Chewbacca. Remember that part in Return of the Jedi when they break into the shield bunker towards the end? And those and Chewie walks up to those Imperial officers and they're all like they're horrified by him. That was everyone's face. The fucking so there's a bunch. There's like four fucking like super gay twinks on stage in thongs flopping their fucking balls and dick around. And there's just smoking hot chicks all over the dance floor. And I'm cutting through and everyone is looking at this woman like she's a fucking Yeti. I'm like, oh my God. I was like, this is fucking horrible. This is so embarrassing. Fuck. So then I go with her and like, I have to like dance and I'm like, I got to do something. I can't just stand here. So I'm kind of like just shifting my weight back and forth on my feet. And I was like that dance that Tony Montana does in Scarface when he's out there with Michelle Pfeiffer, just like bopping around. I'm like, this stink. And I remember like I'm looking around to find like other dudes that are in the same boat as me. Like they don't want to be out there, but like they're just trying to get some pussy. So they're going through it. And like you could see you could find that dude. I'm scanning the dance floor and I would just see a guy just like also looking around and we would catch eyes and be like, what's up? Like, this sucks, don't it? Like, I really want to get laid, but I don't want to be here. That was fucking going. And I'm still got a fucking cold. I got like a fever and I'm sweating and I'm trying not to like cough all over. I couldn't stop fucking coughing. I felt like shit. I'm like, well, this is a fucking mistake. So like, I'm stuck on air on the floor. And dude, there's so many hot. And every fucking, now this is a new phenomenon. The hot chicks, these vapid, fucking desperate, endlessly desperate for attention cunts. I'm looking around and there are 24 phones in the air because the girls have to hold the phone up and dance and smile into their phone because they're Snapchatting their fucking dance floor. I'm like, how much fucking adulation do you fucking need? You have to broadcast your dance on the dance floor. It's so obnoxious. And I'm just like, any dudes that want to cheat, don't take a chick to a fucking dance floor. You got a better chance of getting away with it if you fucking made out with a chick on a kiss cam during the fucking World Series, you know? It's fucking hopeless. Like, they're just you're showing up in like 19 different Snapchat feeds, and who knows how many people are watching it. Just like by sheer numbers, like you're gonna be fucked. Like you just fucked yourself. It's like some Big Brother shit. I'm like, this is so fucking obnoxious. Like, oh God, this fucking selfie culture. I can't fucking stand it. So whatever. She's like dancing all over me. I'm getting a fucking major hard on because I'm. This is the only reason I went too. I hadn't got laid in a while. I all but gave the slob the boot. That's a whole thing, but I think she's kind of generally fucked off, but she's too fat. I don't want to fucking see her anymore. But so I'm going through all the shit because I just want to get fucking laid. So this chick's wasted. This fucking monstrosity is wasted. So she wants to go home. It's like 11:30. The plan is to have the twink and the fatso leave in their own Uber and go back to her apartment, which is in deep fucking valley down by like, Roscoe and like Van Nuys. It's the shit, right? It's a fucking shitty area. And she's still there. She's still in the same place where I saw her last time. So so I see him all in this huddle and I'm like, oh no, what the fuck is this? She's like, can you, and she's all like hanging on me and like kind of like kissing me. She's like, can you drive us all home? Because they don't want to take an Uber. I'm like, what, are you fucking kidding me? I got to drive all, now I'm stuck in her stupid fucking, it's almost like a studio apartment where the twink lives in his own little, like that, like Jabba the Hutt curtain. How many more Return of the Jedi fucking references am I going to make? There's just like a curtain like separating the fucking, the rooms. So I'm like, motherfucker, all right, fine, I'll drive everybody home. Because I'm like, oh, at least I'll get her home. The twink was falling asleep, and the fat said, well, fucking probably leave, because like, she's not her roommate yet. So we go to fucking, we get by her place, she's like, I want some food. So everybody wants food, so we stop at fucking Carl's Jr. This, the fatso, this, not my, she was not really fat, she's just like the big one. This chick's just big. She's not so much fat, she's just a large human being. But the fatso, that's her friend, she gets, this fucking pig, she gets, it's midnight, she gets a 5-piece chicken tender, and this thing of like bacon cheese fries, it was like a pound of fucking fries with like cheese and bacon slathered all over it. And we go home, and this fucking fatso is just shoveling greasy, I mean, she's 100 pounds overweight, and she's just shoveling deep fried food into her fucking face. I'm like, you are disgusting. Like, how do you live so unhealthy? Like, I know I eat a lot of junk food and shit, and I don't eat my fast food, but like, obviously, this chick's body's not built for it. She's just like, just fucking fattening herself up. Oh, God, it was making me sick. I'm like, you are appalling. Like, how fucking embarrassing. So we're sitting around, and the big one here is getting, she's getting a little sleepy. The twink and the fatso are still wide awake. Everyone's smoking weed. And then they put on, now I've been hearing about this show forever. Black Mirror. It's called Black Mirror. It's kind of like almost like a newer Twilight Zone kind of thing. There's a big buzz about it, right? And dude Bogues is like, you see Black Mirror yet? I'm like, no. He's like, it's not awesome. Bogues is telling me how much it sucks. He's like, I'm telling you, I watched it. It's fucking terrible. I'm like, all right. Well, I've been meaning to check it out just because I hear so much about it. It was so bad. Holy shit. I was like, this is the worst fucking thing I've ever seen. It was this episode where like, this guy goes into this cheesy like Tom Cruise wannabe guy. He just acted just like him. He was such a like overacting obnoxious turd. I mean, I love Tom Cruise. I'm not saying he does it, but he's just like, he had a Tom Cruise like, hey guys, it's great, like vibe to him. But it was like cranked up to 11 with a knob, bro. I hated this character and I hated this actor so much. And it goes into this like virtual reality world, and then he like can't get out. It was fucking awful. It wasn't scary. It wasn't interesting. It was so fucking dumb. And they were all like, this is my favorite episode. They're talking about how awesome it is. I'm like, I wish I had a grenade and I could just drop it and dive out the fucking window and land on like an awning one floor below, like some Batman shit, and fucking blow you all up. This stinks. So the big one goes to sleep in her bed that's on the floor. And the twink goes in his room. So it's just me and the fatso on the couch. The minute the big one lays down, she's fucking out snoring. The minute she lays down, she's hammered. Because I bought her a fuckload of drinks at the place. And I'm kind of stalling for time because I'm like, well, maybe the fatso's going to leave any minute and then I can crawl into bed with this fucking big giant fuck and then have bad sex with her again. And now it's like 1 a.m. I got to work the next day. And I'm like, what's going on? You leaving? She's like, oh, no, I'm staying. I'm sleeping here on the couch. And I'm like, awesome. Awesome, cool. So she's definitely, all the lights in the place are on. She's not gonna let me crawl in bed with her unconscious friend and fuck her. And I'm not gonna fuck around in front of this fucking pig. So I'm like, cool, I guess I'll go home. Cool, I spent about $50 on drinks. And now I'm gonna go home without getting fucking late and being stuck on the dance floor and going through all this bullshit. To make matters worse, I don't know what kind of like parallel universe I ended up in. I could not get out of this fucking building. It took me 15 minutes. I was starting to like seriously like freak out. I'm like, there's no, it was like the fucking hedge maze in The Shining. I could not find my way out of this fucking place. I'm walking around. The floors were huge and like super confusing. And there was just, I couldn't find like a lobby. I walked the entire circumference of the first floor of what was floor one before the parking garage. There was no lobby. There was no way to get in or out. And then like, I look out these like little balcony things and there's like barbed wire fences. I'm like, what in the fuck is going on? I've never seen anything like this in my life. I couldn't get out. I had to go down to the fucking parking garage and walk all the way around this. Like I was walking all down there and I finally saw like a door or one of the main fences. Like this fucking building was like a mall. It was gigantic. And I finally found my, I seriously took me 15 fucking minutes. I went home at 2 in the morning with like the worst blue balls I've had in like the longest time. I was so fucking horny. And it was such a waste. So between, in a week and a half, the British chick, the bitch I met on Christmas, and then this the big in here, I probably spent $200 fucking dollars on girls and dates that went nowhere, and that I didn't get laid or anything else. It was a total fucking bust, dude. 0 for 3. I always talk about how well I do in December, and I always have a weird thing with chicks and meet more girls during December than any other time. It's just like this, I don't know what happens. It's this weird thing. And it was a total fucking bust-a-roo, man. And all I was thinking was, as shitty as that is, if I fucking drank, I would have probably spent, not only would I have spent almost double the money, I would have spent so much more and felt like shit and just been fucking totally depressed and just feeling, and feeling even worse, because like you get rejected and then you drink and you're just like, I'm a fucking piece of shit. It would have been so much worse. And I was like, thank fucking God I don't drink. It was just this Saturday I got my 5 month chip. Last time I drank, it was the last Saturday in July. 5 fucking months already. And it's been so much better. I'm so fucking glad I did it. Oh, hang on. Someone's calling. Hello.
Hey, Luke.
Hey, man. How's it going?
Good, man. Good. How was your Christmas?
It was good. It was interesting.
Nice. Cool. So, I hope you enjoy the week off.
Okay, sorry. That was one of the other guys that owned my business. I love his British accent. He's another crazy Brit. But, my phone, there was some weird feedback thing on my phone that was making an echo and it was distracting the shit out of me. Like everything I said, it would repeat what I said. You know what I mean? You ever get like one of those weird echo things on your phone where like you hear your voice played back to you? It's fucked up. It was weird. So whatever. Also, I didn't want to give away the fucking code to my safe at my work. That wouldn't be good. So, yeah, that was my weekend girl. I had 2 fucking dates in a week and it was a fucking hell of a thing. Yesterday was Tuesday on a Tuesday and I did the first time I got this whole week off. It's great. I can hit all these fucking other mics that I can't usually do. Jesus Christ, it's 3 o'clock and I got to do my fucking laundry and I'm still going to fucking work out if I want to do another mic tonight. I bet I could fucking do it. I dilly-dallyed around all day. I actually didn't dilly. I was doing creative stuff and I was writing, so I can't fucking beat myself up too bad, but I can get fucking going here. I did 3 in a day. I think I'm 0 for 19 on the fucking Melrose Improv mic. Still didn't get fucking pulled. Then I went over to that fourth wall, and I did all right. And then I ran into those fucking Verzi triplets. And they're like, dude, what the fuck? Why didn't you talk to us on Monday? They're like, I saw you were there with some girl. They pulled your fucking name. I go, I know. I was downstairs. They're like, well, thanks, because we got your slot. I was like, yeah, no. I couldn't have gone to better douchebags. But I told them, and they were like, yeah, I saw you with some girl. I figured that's something to do with it. And I was like, yeah, I just wanted to get the fuck out of there. I felt bad. I didn't even say hi to them, because they saw me, but I just kind of like dodged them. But so I saw those dudes again. And then I went to Westside, 3 mics in a day. I haven't done that in a while. And got up for my 200th fucking time. That was my 200th mic and set. And God, did I do bad. I tell you what, I was just talking about this to somebody the other day. I forgot who the fuck it was, but we were talking about like how when you started out, all you wanted was the light. Like it was 3 minutes and you get the light at 2. They light you when you got 1 minute left or whatever. And you're like, thank God there's the light. But now, since when you're doing it a long time and you get comfortable on stage, and you start writing longer stuff, then you're pissed when you get the light. And it felt like I was up there for like 5 fucking minutes, and I was like, where is the guy? I was like, okay, where's the light? I haven't done that in so long. I'm like, I have not wanted the light in like, I can't even remember the last time. It was a shitty room. There was hardly anybody in there. It was just, I don't know. No one was getting really much of anything. But I don't know. It was all the jokes that have worked all week didn't work out. Just a 0. It was fucking brutal, so. Whatever, but yeah, I hit 200, so I want to try and hit. I seriously want to try and hit 200 just this year, in 1 year. I want to see if I can do that. Because, yeah, Luke, you've been doing comedy almost 2.5 years. You're telling me you've only done 200 sets. Yeah, I know. Well, I quit 2 or 3 fucking times for months at a stretch, so it evens out. That's why I've been doing it 2.5 years, but I'll say I've only been doing it 2 because I probably lost about 6 months just in quitting. It's tough. It's been a tough... It's been tough getting, not established, but, you know, getting into a rhythm of doing it and enjoying it. But quitting drinking helped a fucking ton. And I feel like I'm starting to get my footing in it and doing it more. Taking a little bit more comedy, taking it a little bit more seriously. Isn't that ironic? I need a drink. So, yeah. I think, and finally, the there's a big push on most of the popular culture who are just in general are left leaning people. Anyways, I know Bill Burr. I think I mentioned this last week, and I know Bill Burr talked about it on Monday a little bit. But it's just this whole fuck 20, because Carrie Fisher died and George Michaels died one day apart. And now there's this whole thing of like, well, fucking this year just be, fuck this awful year. It was an awful year for everyone because Hillary Clinton didn't get elected and a bunch of celebrities died. So fuck the whole year of 2016. Like, 2016 was just an awful fucking time. It's like, no, it's not. And now there's this big, like, cultural groundswell. Like, oh, this whole year sucked. I can't believe. I mean, both the candidates sucked. But you're telling me the whole year was terrible because fucking Trump won? And that, like, how much better do you think Hillary would have fucking done? Like, what are you kidding? Like, those are our two shit choices anyways. Are you really going to lament the fact that we were fucked either way? So just shut up. And it's just stop. This is exactly why the guy won, because you think the whole fucking world revolves around you and your point of view. And you're right, because you say it's a shit year. I guess we all got to go, yeah, this year sucked. It didn't. I had a great fucking year. I can't wait till next year. I'm psyched to have a whole goddamn year when I'm sober. I'm gonna get so much more shit done. That's what I'm telling you. And then I said, look, so what exactly happened in 2016? You say it was such a good year. Here's good things that happened to me this year. I produced a paid music video. I quit drinking, obviously. I got out of credit card debt. I got a better job and a raise. I went to Buffalo for the 4th of July and had fun. I shot one of the most fun and best sketches we ever shot with some of my favorite fucking actors. Guys, I couldn't believe. You know, I got. In fact, Bokes just sent me the fucking final. I got to watch it as soon as I cut the final cut of that Wiretap Scar sketch I got with fucking Frenchie from Goodfellas and Kevin Pollak and Sam Levine. I went to Kevin Pollak's house for that. I went to Jamie Foxx's house. I got to hang out on Jamie Foxx's fucking movie set. Almost got to write on his fucking script, but not really. I got better at stand-up, did a lot more actual shows. I fucked one of my favorite porn shows of all time and didn't get an STD, at least so far. Me knocking on wood. I wrote 2 feature-length screenplays in a year. I had 1 pilot. Hillary Clinton didn't win. One of the best Star Wars movies of all time came out, honestly, even with my problems with it, it's still a great fucking movie. I got to hang and do all those shows with Adam Carolla, even though it didn't work out like I wanted to. I still got to travel around with those dudes and fucking see all that cool shit and kind of be part of the fucking crew. This is the closest I ever got to actually kind of working on radio, which I always wanted to do. But my phone number went from 818 to 310. The Jim and Sam show came into existence and I loved it. So now I have a fucking morning show again and I'm happy about that. I don't know. I had a fucking, I had a great year. I don't know about y'all out there and I don't know about, the popular elite, but, I'm not going with the fucking trend. I had a good time. And I think I'm going to have a good year next year. So, call me Positive Pete, but that's the kind of mood I'm in. I need a drink of water. So this is the last show of the year. God damn it. I don't know what I'm doing for New Year's. It's been awfully quiet on the group text when I keep going, hey, what's going on for New Year's? And it's just crickets. I'm like, I think, shocker, but I think Dude Bokes is going to be out of town. So I don't know what's going on, but I really hope I'm not fucking left holding an empty bag on New Year's, because that's going to fucking stink. But God, I don't mean to fucking harp on the keep not drinking thing, but just so fucking so much. Life is so much easier when you don't fucking drink, especially when it doesn't bother me. I can still go out and have a good time and bullshit. And hang out and just, and then not get super, like, you're tired, you're drinking, you're ready to fall asleep within fucking 3 hours, and you spend all this money, and then you feel like shit the whole next day. You spend money the whole next day on junk, and I lay around, I get nothing done, I get in worse shape, I don't work out, I don't write, I don't do anything creative. It triggers my fucking depression, my fucking self-hatred. I listen back to old episodes of this now and again, and just, I'm like, oh man, I just laid around all weekend, I don't know why, I felt like shit. And I was probably because I got fucking hammered on Friday and Saturday. And then spent the rest of the time just depressed and shitty and hungover. It's like, that like never happens anymore. It's fucking great. I've just been so much better. But I'm not saying like, hey, if you're listening, quit drinking. But like, if you're thinking about it and you're teetering on the edge, give it a shot. Because I'm telling you, it's fucking, it's really been great. It's the best thing I did in a long time. It's absolutely the best. That's the best thing that happened to me this year. It really fucking changed my life. Good. God, I sound like such a fucking fag right now. But I don't know. So hopefully I get something stupid or crazy, or maybe meet some other dumb fucking bitch from around town that jerks me around all night and wastes a bunch of money and doesn't fuck me, and I could tell you about that one too. But I don't know if you're listening, if you're new or you've been listening the whole time, thanks for listening. I hope you have a pleasant New Year's. I hope you got a gal to hold tight and give a smoocheroo when it hits midnight and drink and party and fuck and win an arm wrestling contest, if that's the case. I'm going to play my favorite song My favorite song of the year, I think it came out in 2015, but what's it? Oh, what the fuck's the name of it? That Chuck Reagan song. And I remember it because, what the fuck's the name of it? Hang on. I always forget the name of this motherfucker. I always think of it because that time I was driving back from that Corolla show way up north in California, and fucking Dawson just got wasted on the way, but just fucking annihilated, like unconscious, fucking just a mess in my car. Just like, what's her name? Weekend at Bernie's from fucking, from last week I was telling you about. That's the last time I saw anybody that drunk was fucking goddamn Dawson. But I just remember driving down the five, going the wrong way, because like, I'm telling you, keep going. And I was just fucking like, just, it was like 1 o'clock in the morning. I was like, fuck it, I give up. But, and I was just cranking this fucking song. Oh, Non-Typical, that's it. I fucking love this song. But I'll call that my song of the year. I don't know. I'm a fucking weenie. I probably already used it once, but what the hell? No one's going to listen to it anyway. I don't give a shit. But yeah, good 2016. I hope everybody had a fucking good year and has a good year next year and keeps listening to my stupid fucking show. You know what I'm saying? Bye, cuties. We'll be right back.